all things Aussie music this month here on Triple M. We did it last year. We got great feedback. It's back this year, and it will be back next year. I'll tell you what, a band that fits the bill nicely is Kids in the Kitchen. Do we play them here on Triple M? Absolutely we do. I've got a couple of songs lined up here, but right now I want to introduce Bruce Kerner, local boy. Good morning, Bruce.
Hi, Shawnee. How you going?
I'm good, thanks, mate. How are you?
Oh, any better and I'd be dangerous.
Any better than you'd be dangerous. I've got this. Is this a little bit early for you?
Oh, you know, I'm usually up at the crack of about 8:30, so it's about right.
Well, you've got the music shop. I think you open about 10 o'clock.
Yeah.
And when I ran this by you yesterday, I said, oh, what about, you know, 6:40, 7:40? And you had that look in your face like, keep going up, maybe 8:20, 8:40.
Yeah, I had to get up early this morning for this, yeah.
I want to ask you in a tick about a gig that you've got coming up at a nightclub that I never went to, a bit before my time, but my eldest sister did, Chasers Nightclub on Chapel Street in South Yarra. We'll get to that in a tick, but I want to start with Kids in the Kitchen. This could be a really obvious question, but the name Kids in the Kitchen, where did that come from? Is it what I think?
When we first started, we had no sort of musical instruments at all. We were writing songs. We needed a percussion break because, you know, we were groundbreaking, but no gear. And so we were rehearsing in a friend, the bass player's house. Out came the pots and pans, and he was in a share house. They came home and, oh, look at these guys, the Kids in the Kitchen. And we're looking for names, so we'll just use that.
Should we run with that?
While we think of something good.
That is fantastic.
And it sticks and it does it, you know, it doesn't matter. Names don't matter that much as long as it's identifiable, and it always has been.
I saw an interview on YouTube earlier on this morning. I think the guy from Sounds, what's his name?
Donnie Sutherland.
Donnie Sutherland. He said, oh, what are you going to do in 10 years' time? Are you going to call yourself Men in the Kitchen with Beards in the Kitchen?
Yeah, well, you know. Now we're all old and fat and bald. it's a funny name, isn't it?
Speaking of Mr. Sutherland, what did he mean by this?
Do you get peeved with the people comparing you to Simple Minds?
Yeah, I think with the comparing bit, I mean, everyone compares you with bands, and until we're established as Kids in the Kitchen, if we ever do, then we won't be, you know, put across that we're liked.
Why did he ask you that question in particular, and what did Mr. Khan mean when he said, if we do?
Well, you know, wanted to be a world thing, but obviously, you know, Australia's a different type of thing. But Scott was always being compared to Simon Le Bon, but he wanted to be like Jim Kerr from Simple Minds. But, you know, everyone likes to pigeonhole someone. We're all looking at the English influences and, you know, oh, that sounds like a bit like Simple Minds. And, you know, it's just a pretty long bow to draw, but, you know, comparisons give people an idea what we're like.
Did you think you were going to have that much success at that stage there?
No.
Not at all?
No idea. We were still learning to play. We were just lucky. We went good.
You were literally Kids in the Kitchen.
Yeah, yeah. Yep. Well, you know, next thing you know, we got a record deal and we're on Countdown and things like that.
With
and
Molly.
Like, wow.
You got four top 20 hits. You got the album Shine, which reached number 9 in 1985. Fast forward all these years right now. What memories do you have of playing back then? And we know you're still active right now, but, you know, the green room. Have you got any stories or any goss that you can tell us? What sort of stuff goes on backstage? We all kind of get a little bit curious.
Oh,
or
look,
you can't say right now.
There's a lot of different stories. it's all about trying to be cool, you know, but having a few drinks and meeting a lot of people. The green rooms now where everyone's drinking water and we're all too old.
A little bit different to what was going on back then?
Yeah, yeah, yeah. Oh, ABC one at Countdown was always pretty good.
Mm-hmm.
It was pretty fun. And, you know, screaming girls out the front trying to get in. That was, you know, weird. I think that's weird.
When you were those Kids in the Kitchen, literally starting out, what Aussie bands, because of course we're celebrating Aussie music here this month, what Aussie bands did you look up to? Who were you looking at thinking, you know what, I want to be them, or I want to be as famous as them?
Oh.
Successful.
At the time, we wanted to be like Simple Minds and Duran Duran. No, not it would have been a good place to aim for. I was actually really a rock guy. I loved the Angels and AC/DC. And then In Excess came along and were just brilliant bands and really rocked it. Midnight Oil, I loved them. All, you know, all the great drummers, hey?
Of course, of course, of course. Billy, who takes over from me at 9 o'clock in the studio next door, he often drops the fact that he's a drummer and that you used to are buddies and you hang out there. What about now, though? You've got a gig coming up. at Chasers Nightclub. How did this come about? I thought the place had closed down.
Well, me too. But apparently the guy who's managing it is from those days and he wants to sort of kick it off and do that sort of thing.
Who are you teaming up with?
So Real Life, the band who had an international hit with Send Me an Angel, coming on board, so it's a double header, but they're on first. It's just David Sterry, the singer, and he's got another band. And interestingly, the drummer is Anthony Argyro, the original drummer from Pseudo Echo. So it's like old home week. All these get-togethers like this are just meeting your old mates.
You're catching up with old buddies. You told me yesterday, in fact, that, you know, for example, Classic Hits Live, it's coming up at the Mulwala Water Ski Club, Saturday the 5th of January. The whole idea is, I think it's 50 songs, 10 bands, bang, they just get up there and power through them. But you love getting up there. Of course, you still get that thrill, but catching up with old buddies you haven't seen in many years.
Yeah, well, I live in Shepparton now, and you don't catch up with any of those people. So when we do these type of shows, I catch up with all the old fans.
So I bet you're looking forward to the gig at Mulwala then.
That's going to be an awesome gig. I'll enjoy that from the beach of Bali.
What do you mean?
Unfortunately,
what's the catch?
The catch is I had a holiday booked and I'm going. So yeah. They're going to bring in another drummer and I'm missing out on the big gig in our own backyard.
The one in your backyard. Did you think about negotiating, changing the holiday dates or anything like that?
Of course, but you know, you don't argue with the wife about those things. You know, we have one opportunity a year to go on a holiday and we're going.
You're still playing? Your band's called Current Stand. Now, I did ask you before and I wasn't even thinking when I asked this. The reason it's called Current Stand... How often are you gigging around town? Did you still get the same thrill? And what's it like playing with Nigel Champion?
Oh, Nigel Champion.
Parsons, I should say.
Champion, yeah. He's a champion. And Robert Banks, he's a champion too. We just go out and we have a lot of fun playing cover band. And, they thought it would be a great idea to name this new band about 4 or 5 years ago, 5 years ago, that name it after that song. And that would be really funny. But, you know, I always roll my eyes and go, yeah, whatever. It doesn't matter. But we play at the Aussie. We've been booked for once a month next year. We're actually playing this Saturday at the Aussie.
There you go.
Come on down.
Nice little plug.
And again, unfortunately, I won't be there.
You won't be there.
they're bringing in Trevor. Billy, yeah. Billy's coming in to do a stand-in for me because I've got other things on.
Bruce Kerno from Kids in the Kitchen. It's been an absolute pleasure.
Goulburn Valley's 95.3 Triple M.
There's a study that's come out that says tall husbands and short wives... You're in trouble. No, not really. You've got the best marriages. Well done. Well done. Apparently, life has got even worse for short men. There's been a scientific study. In fact, they've surveyed 8,000 people. There's a lot of factors behind a good marriage. I'm not married, but there's a lot of good factors behind a good marriage. Trust, communication, respect, whether or not you remember to put the toilet seat down, coming in by your curfew. Shawnee. But yeah, apparently height is a big thing. There's a study. It's been done. 8,000 people as well. They haven't just surveyed 100 people here. 8,000 people have been surveyed and found, or studied, I should say. There's a correlation between the husband's height and the wife's happiness. The more inches... What am I reading here? The more inches... Oh, no, we're clear. The more inches separating the two physically, the more pleasure the wife felt. It's great news for couples with that big height gap, like Hapfad Julius Bonson, who is 6'9", and his missus is 5'2". Her name's Kelsey Henson. Boy, oh boy. They're from Game of Thrones, in case you're wondering. However, this is only a factor for the first 18 years of marriage. After that, size doesn't matter. What are you talking about here? So why are tall men? Why are they considered, you know, so much more attractive than short men? It all has to do with how we treat people in society, apparently. The study revealed that taller men, they tend to feel more confident, they have the shoulders back, higher self-esteem, so that they seem more appealing. In addition, employers consider taller men to be more trustworthy and skillful. Therefore, they're likely to earn more money, and their spouses are more satisfied. What are we talking about here? It all goes back to evolution, apparently. Back in the old days, women were attracted to the tallest, strongest men, because they were the best hunter-gatherers. The shortest, weakest men were great with computers. Pretty sure there wasn't computers back then. They hadn't been invented. Those were the dark days for short men. Tom Cruise would never have found a wife back then. Don't despair, though. Don't worry. short men and tall women. In the study, the researchers point out that height shouldn't be a deal breaker. It is just one factor out of many in a relationship, whether you're short or tall, the little spoon or the big spoon, a hobbit or a giant. What matters most is your emotional connection. I mean, who cares about hunter-gatherers these days, really? Hunter-gatherers, that's just going to Coles, isn't it? Had to do that three times yesterday, I did. Forgot the burgers, went back, bought something else, forgot the burgers again, went back the third time. So there you go. Study says tall husbands and short wives have the best marriages. I'm only just taller than Charlotte. If she wears heels, like if we get a wedding or a special event, it's actually only weddings, really. Sean, I'm going to wear heels. Great. Charlotte's dating a dwarf. Who's your midget? No, it's Sean. This is Sean. Yeah, she doesn't wear the big heels, though. I just have to stand up straight, put the shoulders back, and I'm taller than her. But day to day, I am just taller than Charlotte.
Goulburn Valley's 95.3 Triple M.
Yeah, good morning, Billy.
Morning, Shawnee. Hello, world.
Let's get serious.
You want to get serious?
70% serious.
Okay, what's
I had a bit of an apology to make to you. I made fun of you the other day when you told me that you ironed your pillowcases.
Yes.
I laughed for a week.
Yes.
Even though it was 2 days ago, I laughed for a week.
That's all right. I've got a lot of support through the Facebook page about what I do with my pillowcases.
Well, that's what I've looked at all the comments. Mm-hmm. I'm going to say 60-40. Maybe 65-35.
You thought I was crazy.
I just thought I would win that completely. Like, who irons their pillowcases? Mate, a stack of people had your back.
Yep.
So, here I am, putting my hand up. I'm a little bit sorry.
Well, no need to be sorry, Shawnee. I just hope that maybe you'll adopt this this way of life.
I'll never be doing it. Well, I can understand, look, if you've got a spare room and it sits there most of the time, kind of vacant and free, and you want it to look nice, great. But if you're jumping straight in the bed, what's the point?
An unironed pillowcase is like an unironed shirt. Do you know what I mean? So if like if you're going to bed, right, like first thing I do when I get up is make my bed. It's just, I've done it since I was like 10.
You would.
Okay, make my bed, right? Yep. I was a scout.
You'd shop for Christmas presents early too.
No, I actually do not. I'm a shocker. I leave it to the last minute, okay?
Really?
Yeah, no, I'm a shocker.
That
surprised
me.
Because there's nothing I hate more.
That's my alarm, sorry about that.
I got your alarm on. In case you're late.
Just not to forget to interview Bruce.
Anyway, so no, I hate nothing more than the shopping centres around that last few weeks. Mm. The anxiety overload.
Yeah.
You can't get a park. Everything's already sold out.
Yeah.
So really, to be honest with you, I do a lot online.
Uh-huh, very good.
Because I can do it from the studio, when I'm not on air, of course.
And if you're not buying online, you're buying local, aren't you, Billy?
Of course, yeah. Some great boutiques here in Shep.
Now, so yeah, the pillowcase thing. And I'm sorry for that, mate. And all right, how about I make you a deal?
Sure.
I will iron my pillowcases before Charlotte changes the sheets next time.
All I want you to do...
Not before I change.
All I want you to do is try one night with an ironed pillowcase and one night without.
All right.
I'm telling you, it mightn't be a big difference, but you will notice it.
With or without? You reckon I can tell the difference?
Do one, and one night with and one night without.
Right, yeah.
It's like the Seinfeld tuck, no tuck.
Sounds like a U2 song. With or without an iron pillowcase. I don't think it would flow as well for Bono.
No.
All right, mate, so there's my apology.
That's all right.
I'm going to try it. You know what? And I'll get back to you on this as well.
Hey, you know how you and I normally talk about things that annoy me?
You got one?
Yeah, I've got a big one.
Have we got time? Yeah,
got
okay.
Time?
Go, yeah, we
Real
do.
Quick.
Yeah, go.
When you're behind a car and there's people crossing the pedestrian crossing, so the car in front is stopped, when someone walks across the pedestrian crossing, you're meant to get to the other side rather swiftly. Call me old-fashioned. Like, you're not meant to just sort of take your time, you know, maybe check your phone in the middle, check in, take a selfie on the pedestrian. But when you have a chat to the person in the car at the pedestrian...
Yeah, does this happen to
dude,
you?
Dude, look at my face. I'm as red as that on air.
Like,
it's infuriating. You do not stop and have a chat to someone in a car while you're crossing the pedestrian. So then I tooted.
You're the car behind and you tooted.
I tooted.
Yep.
And they looked at me like I was a so-and-so. Mm. And I was like, excuse me.
You can't do that.
Yeah.
Pull
the guy
over.
Behind me said some very colourful language. Not me. But I'll tell you what. And they just looked at me like it's a completely normal thing. Have a chat at the pedestrian crossing. Have you gone mad?
You've lost it.